There have been several different stories in the news recently about squatters taking over people's homes, basically stealing them and making it a legal nightmare for the owners, who have to go through a very expensive and lengthy legal process in order to get them evicted. And a lot of times this happens from someone who is renting a home, then the home gets sold, and then when the new owner wants to move in, the tenant claims that they still have a lease, and then it becomes this big legal nightmare. But in other cases, people literally just break into the homes. Oftentimes, it's an empty home from someone's parent who passed away, and they're out of state or out of the area, and so they haven't gotten around to selling the home just yet. And so one of the recent cases is in New York, of course, a liberal hellhole. And it's so bizarre that this is allowed to happen. And it looks like word gets out to certain scumbag individuals, and they know how to work the system. And so they'll break into a home and then have their cell phone bill forwarded to that address. And so then when the homeowner calls the police, they show the cell phone bill as supposed evidence that they live there. And then the owner has to go through the eviction process. In a recent viral story of this happening, the homeowner came and changed the locks on the home. And then the squatters called the police on her. And she was arrested for an unlawful eviction, even though none of the people squatting in the home have a lease.
We met Adele Andaloro outside the home her parents left her in Flushing, Queens. She's in the process of selling it.
No, he loved it.
But she's been locked out. She claimed squatters moved in on February 6th and refused to leave.
What's it like being here knowing you can't go inside of your own home?
It's enraging. It really is.
In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days.
By the time that someone does their investigation and they do their work and their job, we'll be well over the 30 days, and this man will have stolen my home. And now she's back.
So you can't even get them arrested for breaking and entering. If they just claim that they live there, you have to go through an eviction process, which takes at least 30 days.
Get out of my house.
She found two men.
How long have you lived here?
I moved in about 2 days ago.
They've called the police on me, and I've called the locksmith. I didn't come in illegally. The door was open.
Police started interviewing neighbors and looking for documents.
Do you have something that shows that you've been here for more than 30 days?
They took the man who told me he had been renting for 2 days out in handcuffs.
They got one out.
And escorted the other guy off the property.
Now you're afraid to come out.
I'm not coming out. This house is empty. This is my home. My locksmith is on the corner waiting to change my locks. And that's not fair. It's not fair that I, as the homeowner, should be having to go through this.
How are you doing?
Minutes later, a locksmith showed up. But police gave her a warning before they left.
I may end up in handcuffs today if this man shows up here and says that I have illegally evicted him. I said to them, let him take me to court the way I've been told to take him to court. But today, I'm not leaving my house.
Less than 10 minutes after police left and the locks were changed. The man who claims to be the one actually leasing the house shows up.
Call the police again.
With the other guy, police took off the property.
Do you see this? This guy just literally broke down my door, broke through myself and my daughter to get in here. This guy just forced himself into my house.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
And so did you.
Ma'am.
You broke through the front door.
Officer.
The man called the police on her.
So why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically he can't be kicked out. We need to go to court.
They consider this a landlord-tenant issue. And by law, it has to be handled through the housing court, not with police.
If you own this house, you would not want her inside.
I don't own the house. I don't own this.
Exactly.
Yes.
She does.
Yes. But then once again, you should know how the law works.
I do know how it works.
There's rules to the as you got to go to court and send me to civil court.
He says he signed a lease in October, but wouldn't tell us with who.
I got proof longer than that.
Show us the proof.
But who are you for me to show? I showed it to cops.
Dan with Channel 7 News. If you don't want to show it, you don't
want
to show it.
Pool. Come here, brother. I like that.
I would like to see it.
He didn't show me a lease.
This is a bill. This is
a bill for work he says he had done to the house. He didn't show police a lease either.
The police department doesn't have the lease?
No.
He's got no documentation.
Just bills.
So imagine this. A group of people break into your house. You call the police. The police refuse to arrest them, but then arrest you, claiming that you are trying to unlawfully evict them. So scumbags like this know the legal loopholes and know how to work the system, which was put in place by a bunch of Marxist Democrat lawmakers who see landlords as the bourgeoisie ruling class. But guess who else is learning about these loopholes? The criminal invader illegal aliens. And now they're sharing their wisdom on TikTok, encouraging others to do the exact same thing.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States. ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos, aquí en United States también se aplica la de invasión de terreno. Y creo que ese será mi próximo negocio. Invadir casas abandonadas, ya que me he buscado unos códigos con mis amigos africanos y me dijeron que ya llevan como 7 casas expropiadas. Y como dice el dicho, papi, hay que buscar la vuelta. Y la vuelta ahorita mismo es invadir casas, ya que nos encontramos en situación de calle y es la única manera que tenemos para no vivir en la calle y no ser una carga pública. Capichi, la ley dice que las casas abandonadas, deterioradas y que esté en mal estado, podemos llegar y repararlas, vivir en ella y si podemos venderla, hasta pedir créditos con ella. ¿Qué dicen ustedes?
So that's why that other scumbag had a contractor come to the house and do some supposed work, probably paint the front door for $50, so he could have an invoice showing that he paid for work on the house with his name on it, listed at that address, so he could use that as supposed evidence that he was supposedly living there. And that's what this guy was just talking about. So they're trying to game the system because they're seeing what others have been doing in the big cities for years. And lawmakers in Florida have been seeing what's going on in New York, and so they just updated their supposed squatter rights laws in order to further protect property owners from being taken advantage of by these scumbags. There's also a legal battle going on in Texas, and the state is trying to basically allow their own officials to arrest and detain and deport the criminal invader illegal aliens. And I think it passed, but then I think it's being challenged, of course, from the feds, since the feds aren't doing their job and are inviting in the invaders. And so Mexico caught wind of this law, or this pending law, and has condemned Texas, saying that it will not accept deportations from the state. So Mexico allows and encourages the now 8 million criminal invaders over the last 3 years to invade the United States through their country. But then they're upset and they're saying that if we start deporting them and just dumping them back in Mexico where they belong, that they will not allow that. I'm sorry, but that's an act of war. In fact, allowing them to enter the United States illegally by the millions from Mexico is also an act of war. Meanwhile, in what was once the United States, this is a Democrat candidate for Congress in Ohio who just won the Democrat primary, and so now he is advancing onto the general election ticket. And this could be another congressman in the state of Ohio if he wins. Here is his victory speech after he won the primary. Yes, he is speaking a foreign language. He is speaking in Somali. This is basically the male version of Ilhan Omar, an American who came to this country and not only is obviously not assimilating culturally, but neither linguistically as well, speaking a foreign language in the United States in his victory speech for the primary when he's running for U.S. Congress. I realize this video is kind of a downer, but wait until the end because there is some fun news that we can wrap up with soon. A judge in Illinois has ruled that the criminal invader illegal aliens should be allowed to buy firearms, claiming that it's a violation of their Second Amendment rights if they're not allowed to. So we've been giving them driver's licenses. We allow them and their children into American schools, giving them home loans in some cases, credit cards. And now, at least in Illinois, they can buy guns. Judge rules illegal immigrants have gun rights protected by Second Amendment. And I know yesterday I said that we would probably never hear Don Lemon's name again because he'll never do anything newsworthy on his little podcast. now that Elon Musk has canceled the sponsorship and distribution deal with him. Hilariously, of course, before the first episode even aired. But we should check in with Lemonhead periodically for a good laugh. And, of course, he will be talking about his interview with Elon Musk every day for the rest of his life.
And people have been asking me what I meant by when I said he did not like answering questions or being held to account from people like me.
Meaning communists who endlessly complain about free speech and keep demanding that cartoons that hurt people's feelings get censored and banned from the internet. That's what he meant. People like you.
And so some people took it to mean a racial thing. I meant someone who has a different worldview. But since people raised it and you said what you said, do you think that he was uncomfortable? I didn't want to go there. Do you think he was uncomfortable sitting in front of a gay black guy?
Probably more gay than black, I would think. I hate to say that, but...
Well, you certainly can't blame Elon Musk for being uncomfortable sitting that close to Don Lemon, particularly in the wake of, a certain alleged incident that allegedly occurred when Don Lemon was in a bar one night. I'm serious. If Don Lemon lives another 20 years, which I know is extremely unlikely given his lifestyle, then he will be like Al Bundy, and he will not stop talking about his interview with Elon Musk. It'll be like the 4 touchdowns in one game.
Bundy! B-U-N-D-Y! Al Bundy! Made All-City back in 66. 4 touchdowns. And I'm not talking the whole year. One game.
Do I know you, man?
Ever hear of Al Bundy? Poke high, all city, 4 touchdowns in one game.
Do you know what a hero you are to me?
I presume you're referring to my 4 touchdowns in one game.
Now, for you millennials and zoomers out there, unfortunately, you guys missed out on one of the greatest sitcoms of all time and the brilliance of Al Bundy in Married with Children, which aired for 10 years. I haven't checked, but I highly doubt that it's available on any of the streaming services because even back then, it was considered to be too offensive for television. And even though we are approaching the end of the week and Donald Trump's bloodbath comments were made last Saturday, the liberal media is still having a complete meltdown about it. Here's MSNBC's Lawrence Stop the Hammering O'Donnell yesterday.
If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Those were Donald Trump's words on Saturday, and he has been trying to run away from those words ever since. And his millions of followers online are trying to convince people that Donald Trump predicted bloodbath was not about people. It was about cars. But cars don't bleed. People do.
You know they're going to be talking about it every day until the election. Yesterday was the 4th day in a row that it was dominating MSNBC.
The more I look at the text of it, the more it specifically does not say the auto industry. And what would a bloodbath mean in the auto industry? Would that mean the United Auto Workers would go out and create a bloodbath? Anyway, Brian.
Please remind us, sir, about another highlight from his rally last weekend.
You have to think about the way that he handles rhetoric all of the time, right? I mean, he in the opening to this rally, he was referencing the January 6th jailed people as hostages, as true patriots. He was referencing the idea he was going to basically do something about getting them out of prison on the first day he's in office.
Yes, it's called a pardon, and 99.99999% of them arrested that day deserve one. And if you agree, then I'm sure you'll enjoy my new Free the January 6th Hostages shirt, which you can order from my online store at markdice.com or click the link in the description below. This is another one of those designs that may eventually get banned sooner rather than later. Once the higher-ups in my t-shirt distribution company catch wind of it, let's just say that I've had some problems with them in the past with previous designs. So order it while you can, again, at markdice.com or click the link in the description below and check it out.